You guys, it's Andy's Girls. It's episode 540, 541. And I have to say, it's such a weird, I don't know, it feels like a weird instinct, but it's truly honest that New Jersey for me has been on the absolute back burner. And the oddity of only having one Housewives franchise airing, and the number of times I've complained about that, which I still maintain that one franchise airing at one time, certainly for the last couple of weeks, has been a little bit nuts. And yet, you would think, with there only being one Housewives franchise on air right now, that I would be focusing on it 24/7. But we are in that era of post-Scandoval what the fuck, and truly the odyssey that has been this season of Summer House. I mean, I cannot get my frustration out enough about VPR and the just like wonder, curiosity, confusion, but in the best possible way of trying to break down and understand the nuances in behavior on Summer House. Those are the two shows taking up a lot of room in my head. And I think because New Jersey obviously has had a little bit of a softer start, I put it on a little bit of a back burner, and maybe I felt a little bit like, you know, maybe I had a little bit of a spiritual eye roll of like, all right, you know, we're not getting a lot so far. That's kind of nice, maybe, you know, that we have these two other shows that are just so hot. I don't mean that necessarily as a compliment when it comes to VPR, but they're just, my curiosity is at an 11 and hasn't been that way for NJ. So I just didn't really get around to watching it. I'm just one of those people who I don't need to see things live. And sometimes I'll just push, I'll put stuff off. I'll genuinely kind of push it out of the forefront of my mind. So I sat down to watch NJ today, the newest episode, I mean, which is essentially almost a week old at this point. And I just kind of thought to myself, all right, it's going to be a nothing burger, and that's totally fine. And I'll talk about it for 3 minutes and then continue on back to Summer House and eventually watch that VPR Secrets Revealed episode, which I heard was fucking nuts. And I have to tell you, a couple minutes into NJ, I was like, oh, okay, look at you. Not that you're growing up, you're like on your 900th season, but like, this is interesting. I actually feel curious about some of this. I really think this season might be that kind of sneak attack of maybe we can bring the temperature down a little bit in a community, you know, the New Jersey online community, content creator community even, or also, honestly, is just so, so toxic that I think I was bringing some of that to the table of like, don't get too invested because people are going to lose their minds. Although, frankly, you know, if I'm going to be perfectly honest, I would rather have a hot feeling than no feeling at all. And so I watched this episode and I was like, you know what? There's some stuff here to discuss. Like, I found myself really enjoying it. And I feel so thankful that I'm not militantly on one side or the other. I really think that is such a benefit to watching Jersey. If you are so fortunate to not be vehemently one team or another, I think it's going to be just so much more enjoyable to watch. And sometimes, you know, you don't get to choose the people you love or loathe. And we're seeing that play out right now on the show. So I know that there's been a lot of discussion, I guess, in the media or whatever, about what the fuck is going on with Marge, Fessler, and Jackie. And I saw a clip, I haven't watched the full interview, but I saw a clip of Jackie, I think it was either Jackie or Jen, I think it was Jackie, talking this week in a piece for, I think it's from my friends, Danny and Evan, with the reality podcast, who I love, talking with them about why Marge is so mad. And from the clip that I saw, which was a short one, so I don't have a ton of context, Jackie was saying something along the lines of like, Marge came to us, I guess before they started to record, and said, if Louis is back, I'm going to leave and I want you to come with me. Like, I'm going to quit the show if Louis continues to film. And I guess Jen Fessler said yes, which I think is what she was referencing in that first or second episode of, I told you I wouldn't hang out with these people again. And remember that, it's why I'm such a good friend. I assume that's what she was referencing of, like, I agreed to leave the show. Obviously, there was somebody changed their mind, I assume Marge. And Jackie, apparently, when Marge made this request, Jackie said no. You know, Jen said, okay, I'll leave the show with you. I'll quit my job with you in allegiance to you, I guess, certainly as a sign of some sort of respect for what she went through, or just for the level of dislike she has for Louis. And Jackie's like, no, I'm not going to quit my job for you. I'm not going to do it. And that seemed to be, I think, a big part of Marge's frustration for Jackie, perhaps. We're obviously hearing about this book. I'm a little confused about that for a couple reasons. First off, so Jackie is essentially saying the only people that I sent galleys or advances of this book were folks who I was going to collab with for some sort of media. Like, for example, I was sent a book before it was published by her, I think it was book publicist, so that I could read it and have Jackie over to the Clawfuss, which is what happened, to talk about the book. I needed to read the book so that we could discuss it. And I'm thankful that I did. And we had a great episode, and she touched some of the dresses here, because how can you not? And had a great, I think, you know, nuanced, vulnerable ep. And for Marge, I think she feels like, you're not respecting me by sending this thing. And I think the confusion here is that Marge is essentially saying, I need it, I deserve it, versus I really want to read it. Why do you want to read it so much? That's not me criticizing. That's me literally asking, like, what is the need to read this in advance? Because she mentions Jen Fessler at one point got an advance. If Jackie is maintaining the only people she sent copies to were strictly people in the media, you know, press, online, pods, whatever. If she's saying those were the only people that received the book, and Jen Fessler got a copy, who is not in the media, she's in the cast of the show with Jackie, I think that maybe is what is inspiring some level of annoyance, especially if Marge is maybe feeling a certain way about the fact that she's still filming the show with Louis still on it, and her friends are as well. I don't know if that's connected to this at all, but it sort of shifted into this, like, I'm not, you know, sharing the book with anyone, to why do you feel like you need it? And obviously Marge is coming from a place of hurt, but I just need to hear a little bit more specifics. I assume it's because she feels like her friends have been sent it, she hasn't. And maybe there's a level of concern, or perhaps paranoia, of like, what is the book going to say about us? What is the book going to say about the cast? Is that it? Or is this the, like, you haven't kissed the ring? Or I thought we were good friends. There was a little moment that I thought was tough when they were arguing about this in the dressing room. What's that called when you're when you play baseball? The locker room, the dressing room, LOL. When they were in the dressing room and Jackie's saying, I didn't send it to anyone else. I literally didn't even send it to my mother. And Marge very quickly says, almost under her breath, thank God for microphones, she just says it very fast, well, I'm not surprised by that. Jackie picked up on that shade immediately. And I thought to myself, oh, that's a dig. Like, that's going a little lower than maybe we intended. But why is this so tense? I don't understand why the book is such a topic of conversation, except that Marge feels that not receiving it is a sign of disrespect. I also don't understand, if she's asking for the book over and over again, why not just send her a copy? It's not like this is some private business document that no one's going to be allowed to put eyes on. If it's already gone to print, you're sending out galleys to other people, you have someone who's on the show who's saying they want to read it. Wouldn't you want more people to read it than not? I don't entirely understand the withholding of it. And while it's been a minute since I read the book, I don't remember there being anything particularly negative about discussing, because it's about her journey with anorexia and being healing and in recovery with anorexia and just the difficulties that she's had in her life, living as someone living with an eating disorder. I just don't remember there being, I could understand if it was like, and here's a chapter of why I hate my friends on the show. You know, I don't remember any of that. So I don't know necessarily why Jackie is being so precious. It's also like not Harry's memoir where one person gets a copy in a fucking bookstore in Wales or whatever, and then suddenly the world has it, and you could argue maybe that would possibly hurt book sales, or maybe there's stuff that's so explosive coming out that they wanted to have as like an exclusive reveal for people who are actually buying the book. This is not that. This is a personal memoir that's relatively niche because she's, well, I mean, currently a friend of, but was a, you know, cast member or housewife talking about not the experience of the show, although that certainly is a factor, but her experiences with anorexia. So I'm not entirely understanding if Marge is saying that Jen Fessler has received a copy, and maybe I misheard that, but I thought that's what she said, then why not just send her one? If someone is that upset and feels that hurt, I would just say, send her a copy. It's not a matter of no one is getting this book. Obviously, some people are. Why not just send it to her? Also, you would have someone in your corner saying, I read the book. It's incredible. Buy the book. Just like, let's bring down the temperature a little bit. It feels confusing, which is why I have to think it's connected to maybe Marge feeling slighted that Jackie didn't offer or agree to quit the show, if that was something that Marge was really serious about happening. I don't know. I mean, if I was in Jackie's position and I was approached by a good friend who said, I'm really upset that this spouse is, who's done terrible things to my family, is staying on the show. I want to leave, or I want to threaten to leave if, you know, production says he's going to stay, and maybe see how that plays out. I mean, it does kind of beg the question of how do you actually feel about Louis yourself? I think that's one of the things that Marge is in a little bit of a tizzy about when it comes to Jen, because at one point in this episode, she's saying something along the lines of like, I cannot associate with people who threaten other people's families, aka my family, or including my family. And the reality is Marge is upset that Jen can. And there's no way around this. I mean, not to focus on that call again, because we cannot litigate something that we need more information about. I just refuse to do it, even though it's obviously still a big part of how I view Louis is through the lens of that alleged call that he or someone on his behalf may have made to try to intimidate Marge's older son at his place of work, which can we even get into that? That someone called him through his employer. That's also super gross. And said, we don't actually know a lot of the information, but obviously it wasn't a positive, lovely little chat. And I think for Marge, I'm sure there's frustration about continuing the show, knowing that Louis is in the cast. I'm obviously we can see that coming out of her, that she's really fucking pissed he's still here. I'm sure she's really also really upset that it seems like he's gotten away with it, if in fact he has. But the perception is he was involved in this some way. If you go down that path, obviously, as the mother of this child and someone who also fucking hates Louis, Marge is going to feel pissed that he's still in the cast. How much responsibility Jen needs to bear with that is a question. Like, is Marge upset at Jen Fessler because she can't call out production in every other conversation she's having about this. Like, how much of Jen Fessler, how much of that upset toward Jen is upset because it's her good friend Jen? And how much of that is because she cannot believe the show is continuing with this man? It could be both. It doesn't have to be either. Obviously, Jen Fessler and Marge have a close relationship. It seems pretty apparent that Margaret is also really fucking mad because there has been an untold number of conversations between the two of them, between Marge and Fessler, about Louis sucking and Marge feeling like, oh, okay, now that the cameras are on, you're seemingly okay talking to this man. And the reality is, obviously she is. Like, if the question is, you know, how I can't associate with people who threaten my kid, Jen is telling her by her actions, I can. And that's a tough dynamic to be in. If I was Margaret, I would also be really upset. But the reality is, someone is showing you by your behavior that they just have a different metric system, or they're able to compartmentalize it and maybe put on a little bit of an act. I mean, you cannot tell me that members of the cast have filmed with each other and, you know, have seemingly talk about working on their friendships. You can see that with Jen Aiden and Melissa, for example. Like, these two women, I think, genuinely dislike each other. Maybe for Jen Aiden, I don't know that she's able to really define why, but obviously it exists. And at a certain point, it's just like, who knows what the inciting incident was of recent, but obviously they were insulting each other on social, in whatever interviews, whatever else. But there's a little bit of a, like, we have to do this for the sake of the show. There are only so many people who can refuse to film with each other. And you might be unfortunate enough to not seem like a necessary blockade. Like, Teresa and Melissa will not acknowledge each other. But if we have all of these other people who also refuse to film with each other, that is a fucking shit show situation dynamic that cannot happen. And I wonder, for Marge, I would assume that a part of her understands that, that it's like, it cannot be everyone refusing to film with this other, you know, part of the cast, because production made the decision to bring Teresa and Louis back. Teresa's going to come with Louis. Now, sure, could there have been a dynamic where Louis films less, where it's really the focus is on Teresa? I guess you could make the argument that, I mean, we've seen that with other couples, but typically that's because they're about to get a divorce, where it's like there's a decision seemingly made between the couple itself of like, sweetie, you're not going to film right now because we're screaming at each other, I guess, off camera 24/7. With Teresa and Louis, I guess if production wanted to do this, they could say, you know, Louis, you're going to really take a back seat. You know, you'll be in film dynamics, but you're not going to be a big part of this show. They didn't go that way. Maybe they did a little bit of a happy medium with not having a huge focus on him right now, but they wanted him to stay on the show, or they were okay with him staying on the show because they needed Teresa to remain. It's like, how angry can we be about the fact that he's here right now? If I was Marge, I understand you would remain really fucking pissed and upset that people are okay filming with Teresa and potentially Louis when you feel like this man has done like the worst possible thing that he could do, which is come after my kid, regardless of the age. But that's the nature of this show. It's like, some of these women, sure, are genuinely friends, and some of their friendships can get really fucking messed up when you come on a show like this, because they do want to broaden their reach. They might not feel like they want to be identified as solely and simply this person's friend. You want to increase your chances potentially of coming back. And the best way to do that is to build bridges with other people in the cast and not isolate yourself. And I can't say it enough. I'm sorry for saying it so many times. I get Marge's upset. I also understand that this is not, it's like, this is reality TV. It's not reality. So there are real things that happen that we react to, but also the show has a specific cast. So the cast is going to be a part of this universe if you're on the show. Obviously, they introduce others as well, but Teresa and Louis exist. If Teresa and Melissa are no longer speaking and there are friends of and full-time cast members who feel like part of doing their job is not ignoring these people existing on the show, then they're going to do that.
Paris is always a good idea. And when I schlep on over to Europe, to my favorite city in the world, I bring with me a few important phrases that I have learned from Housewives. C'est bon, chic c'est la vie. Je m'appelle the Countess, n'est-ce pas, Luann? And while those key phrases are important when speaking to any French bravoholic, for other matters of life, that's where Rosetta Stone comes in. Rosetta Stone is the trusted expert for 30 years with millions of users and 25 languages offered, including, of course, French. It features fast language acquisition. It immerses you in so many ways. There's no English translations, so you really learn to speak, to listen, and to think in that language. It's an intuitive process. You pick up a language naturally, first with words, then phrases, then sentences. J'adore Chris Manzo. Et toi? There's a speech recognition filter which gives you feedback on your pronunciation. It's convenient with desktop and app options, and it's an amazing value. Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership has all 25 languages for any and all trips and language needs in life. That's lifetime access to all 25 language courses Rosetta Stone offers for 50% off. A steal. Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, AGs can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/today. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/today. Today. After watching Lala and Sandoval's behavior on the Vanderpump Rules reunion, I developed such an intense thirst. I guess it's contagious when you're talking about Vanderpump Rules. So thank goodness for Fiji Water. Fiji Water is the number one premium imported bottled water brand in the United States. It has a perfectly balanced 7.7 pH, and unlike the other two top premium bottled water brands, Fiji Water's electrolytes are 100% naturally occurring. In fact, Fiji Water has more than double the electrolytes as the other two, giving it signature soft, smooth taste. As someone who has spoken on the pod time and time again about the importance of having electrolytes, especially this summer, Fiji fits into my lifestyle so well. Before going on a little bit of a stroll, just a short one in these warmer summer temps, I grab my Fiji Water and I am out the door. Unlike some other premium bottled waters in the market, there's no ingredient statement on Fiji Water because there's nothing added to the water itself. Fiji Water is Earth's finest water. And as someone who's currently deep in the throes of watching Bravo's Finest Television, also known as Summer House, I know that having Fiji Water by my side is keeping me hydrated and refreshed. So Lala, take that. There is something wonderful about the change of seasons here in New York. No, not just upping my electrolytes when I go for a relatively short walk. It's the smell of summer grilling, especially for whatever reason, I don't know why, in the West Village. It's sort of my seasonal clock. When I start to smell people, that sounds crazy. When I start to smell summer grilling outside, I know summer is upon us. And listen, I can't dig into my veggie dog or veggie burger without some bread or buns. Just because it's summer doesn't mean you have to cut out all the carb-heavy foods you love. Hero Bread reinvented the bread and buns that make summer great. Fluffy, delicious flavor and texture with no net carbs, 0 grams of sugar, and fewer calories, plus protein and fiber. For me, getting enough fiber and cutting down on sugar are key elements to feeling better throughout the day. Hero Bread also has mouth-watering limited edition bakes, like the popular 2 gram net carb Hero Croissant,
as Luann would say. C'est bon, c'est bon.
Keep the carbs out of summer without compromising flavor with Hero Bread. Get 10% off your order at hero.co and use code Andy at checkout. That's Andy at hero.co.
I think what Louis allegedly did is the worst thing you could possibly do. I really think it's like in the top 5 or top 3 of like worst things you could possibly do on the show, if not maybe number 1. I mean, I can't think of something worse than that of recent, which is coming after and trying to intimidate someone's child. That is such a line cross. I cannot put into words how disturbing that is. And I also think people are playing a little bit of a part right now. And some of that part, which might then become a reality for them, is like, yeah, I like this person. I don't have any issue with them. Let's be friends. Maybe that comes with time, I guess you could say, if you were in Jackie's corner. And with Jen, maybe it's just a matter of opportunity. It is going to be interesting to see how this plays out. I genuinely am curious about it. I also think, like, I understand Jackie's position in a way that I didn't think I was going to before the season started, because many of us heard that, like, Jackie all of a sudden was team Teresa and Jen Aiden, a lot of us were like, what the actual fuck is going on? And the timing of it following her demotion, it felt like a pail of garbage grab, like a can of tomato sauce, like apologies to the tomato sauce not being, you know, a part of the Sunday dinner community, but not being homemade. It felt like Jackie was doing this as a way to get potentially more attention and maybe get her, again, they don't hold anything in the first part of the, maybe get her Garden State bouquet back to be full time again. And that could still be a part of this too, but I also sort of understand, I understand why she's gravitating to one side if she's really genuinely getting into it this early with Marge. It doesn't mean I agree with it, but I understand a little bit more. It might not be entirely manipulative, which is what I thought it was before. I just thought, like, this is an attention grab. You're doing this to, you know, figure out a position in which to stay on the show. I don't think it's that 100%. I think that there's some other stuff happening. And I also think, with all respect to what Marge is going through in grieving the loss of Jan, you know, and there was that moment where Joe is saying to her, I think he said something like, come on, kid, when he was consoling her, where you could see his upset at not being able to carry his wife's grief. That was, to me, so impactful. Like, you can tell Margaret is really going through it and feeling like, now that maybe some of the people have gone away, it's been almost a year since he passed. It was a very, very sudden death. Obviously, there's a huge impact on her children, including her stepchildren. It has changed the way I'm sure she parents. It has changed her sense of a support system. She and Jan were obviously a close and important part of each other's lives. I could see how confusing and upsetting just her new reality is. And I think that's important to discuss. I think it could also impact some of her responses to her friends of, like, subconsciously, you know, having in your body the fact that you've lost this incredibly, incredibly important part of your life, the person that you would confide in more than anyone else, the person you could depend on, someone you were truly co-parenting with, you had shared responsibilities, you felt safe with him. He's no longer here. Who are the friends that I have left? And I think there's pressure maybe that Marge feels on herself of, like, who do I have to trust, that I'm sure is playing into this. And I think, again, noting this thing that, like, allegedly happened with the phone call, the fact that it was specifically one of her kids and she's going through the grief of Jan, and I'm sure trying to figure out how can I defend my child and their father is no longer here. I think that surely plays into this at some part, in some way, in so, you know, but I also, you know, but I also think to say that Jackie hasn't been there for you because she didn't call you on the first anniversary of his death, while also saying earlier in the episode that she came to the funeral and to the Shiva, I don't know. While I understand that it's helpful and necessary for people to really activate their friendship and check in, including just she's like naming people who are calling her, you know, this person's calling, that person's calling. Of course, you want your friends to continue to check in with you. You want to feel like you're being seen. You want to feel like your grief is being respected. You want to feel like people are stepping into some of the void and taking up some of that space. And that's helpful. But I also think we're talking about this because she didn't call the first anniversary. Are we saying you never heard from her again? Because if she showed up to the funeral and she showed up to the Shiva, what I'm hearing is like this person was here for the big moments that they needed to be there. They were. It's not that she was disrespecting your grief, I don't think. It's not that she was disrespecting the memory of Jan by not being there to grieve with him at these huge, huge moments. What I'm hearing is like you needed her and weren't able to communicate that or didn't want to communicate that. And she didn't, by the purposes of osmosis or by the nature of your relationship, feel like that was necessary to check in. I also don't remember specifically when their argument started about the book versus when his first anniversary was. You could make the argument, and I understand it, that like putting aside whatever dumb stuff we might be fighting about, and you know, adding a little color to saying it's dumb, whatever like small thing that we're discussing versus this huge, huge, huge life event, put that aside and check in. I totally understand that. But I also think if this person feels like they're under attack, or she feels like your relationship is changing or something is going on, there's tension that there wasn't prior, she might not be the one to pick up the phone and call. Because what's a check-in going to look like? Is it like, I'm checking in to see how you're feeling? Oh, you're feeling like you hate me right now? Okay, well, I don't necessarily want to get into that because we have a different perspective on it. I don't know. I understand from Marge why she feels like Jackie needs to be there more for her. But obviously, there's frustration that's also present that doesn't have to do with Jan. And it's hard to try to figure that out. I think had she not gone to the funeral, that wouldn't have made sense because they were in a perfectly fine place at that point, were they not? That was a year ago. The book stuff and the are you going to stay on the show stuff if Louis is back is more recent. So their relationship may have changed. And obviously, I think it's obvious, judging by Jackie's face, she didn't remember the date. She really didn't. And she says to Marge, did you mention it on Instagram? Did you mention it on social? Marge says, I didn't. She wanted to keep it private. I get that. But a person is not necessarily going to, it's not Jackie's loved one. Jackie loves Margaret, but she's not going to remember. I don't know that she needs to be responsible for remembering that date. Other people might be able to do that. And that's wonderful. Like if you remember this happened at this time, and that might be obvious to people of like, how could you forget it? You know, it's this time of year. It's not like you've stopped talking to this person entirely. We're seeing the ways that Marge is talking about spiraling a little bit of like, I don't know how to handle my life right now. If she had been in communication with Jackie, I'm sure that that would have been a part of what would have come up, a big fucking one. But I just think the tension that they're feeling in their relationship right now, and also the fact that it seems like Jackie genuinely forgot, is having an influence on all of this. And I don't know how you kind of get over that. I mean, Rachel's having her own stuff. She had that nosh with Fessler where she's essentially saying, don't film with Teresa, or I'm upset that you film with Teresa, or I'm upset that you seem friendly when you filmed. And this is the thing of, like, you can be upset at your friend. You can change the nature of your relationship. Rachel said since that she essentially hasn't talked to Fessler since shooting stopped. Like, their friendship has entirely changed as a result of this season and decisions that were made. But I also think the production was not going to be able to get through a season where it's genuinely, genuinely lines cannot be crossed to separate villages. It cannot happen. The show cannot exist where it's three people who do not ever associate with three others. That is not going to work out on this show. It feels like they essentially made an exception to work around the fact that Teresa and Melissa refused to acknowledge each other, which obviously that acknowledgement was a enormous part of the show from, what was it, like season three or whatever on. That's a huge part of the show that has changed the structure of the show, that, like, at best, we're going to get side glances and maybe eye rolls, but that's pretty much fucking it. They're not going to be able to make other concessions for other people in the cast. And members of the cast are going to have to adjust. If you're in a position where you're a friend of, or you're not as important to the show, you don't have seniority, yeah, you're going to be in a position to film. Now, does Jen want to film? Does Jen believe that Louis isn't that bad? Does Jackie believe that there's genuinely no reason to be upset at this person who had a lot to say about Evan, a lot of uneducated, ignorant things to say about the dynamics of living with an eating disorder, as Teresa did? People have the ability to forgive. You don't necessarily need to ignore past transgressions. You can say, I've moved on with this. There's no reason to carry anger. But obviously, your friend who's really fucking upset is going to have a reaction to that. I don't know really what to say about that scene with Rachel and Jen, because Rachel is clearly saying what she wants to happen, which is, like, Jen, stay mad or don't film with this person. I don't want you to film with them. And Jen saying, I'm going to film with them, but, you know, guess what? Good news. It's going to help kind of cool down some of these really hot temps. Like, that's assuming your friends want that to happen. I'm not getting the feeling from Rachel or Margaret that they're interested in the temps being cooled, like some of this hot, 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 hot emotion shifting. I think that's the opposite of what they want. I think that they want to ramp this up because they feel like their pain and upset isn't being seen or respected. It's hard when you're talking to someone who's like, guess what? Good news. We came to a, you know, decision that, like, there was a misunderstanding about X or Y. And, you know, wink, wink. Who knows if I really believe that, but we're filming this scene for the show. Don't we want conflict resolution? Isn't the theme of the show to resolve conflict, rather, have a table for 10. The difficulty is Marge doesn't want that. Rachel doesn't want that. Teresa is attempting to say she sort of wants it with Marge, but I absolutely do not think that she does. And Louis, the guy who says, what did he say? It was something along the lines of, like, I don't cause fights, but I'll win them. Go fuck yourself. This man is dark. I mean, listen, Gia's being featured on this show more than ever. She is the next generation, not of housewives, because she's so, so, so young, but of the next generation of, like, a child growing up, becoming the adult child of a housewife and staying on the show in a capacity that's important. We saw that with Brianna on Orange County. We've seen that on other shows as well. Brianna is just, like, the gold standard for housewives kids. So it does happen. It does exist. I think they're being pretty successful with it so far. But when she's talking about her long-term boyfriend, Christian, and she's like, yeah, he's working for Louis now, the chill that went through my body, the chill that went down my spine. And I get it. It's your stepdad. He seems to be very successful. You feel like he's misunderstood on TV. Mazel tov. You know, he has these great opportunities. Your boyfriend's looking for work. Understandable. You guys are super young, just out of college. You know, Louis offers him a job. How do you turn that down? Why would you turn that down? This is just me as an outsider being like, oh my God, I wish he had turned it down. I wish there had been. Could you not talk to little Frankie Jr. for a hot second and be like, between us, is this something I should be working toward, working on right now? That's a little bit tough. That was tough for me to see play out. There was just a part of me that was like, no, run away, run in the other. I want more for you than this. I'm so concerned you're going to get inadvertently caught up in something at some period of time. I genuinely do not trust that man. I really don't. And I have a lot of love for all of the Housewives kids, especially on NJ. Antonia going off to college. It was so deeply connected. Also, I just found out my school this week was like bought by Northeastern. So shout out to Marymount Manhattan. We sort of no longer exist. May its memory be a blessing. It's like nuts. Oh God. And I found out from the New York Times. So mazel to them for giving me more information than my alma mater alumni email did. But, you know, just watching Antonia go off to school and the emotion from her parents and the fact that her roommate is someone from home, I thought was really sweet. I remember that with kids in school. And it's good and it's not good. It's not good sometimes because it's so much of a safety blanket that sometimes some people internalize or don't feel the need to like explore other friendships. But oftentimes it's just an extra added gift of like, this is someone who knows who I am. We grew up together. We speak the same language, and we're going to figure this out together. So I'm sure it ends up being an absolute win. But there was that moment where she was saying goodbye to her folks. And I don't care how much time has gone by since you, if you went to school out of state, whatever your dynamic was, or didn't go to school, but moving out maybe after high school, whatever period of time, saying goodbye to your parents is just so hard. I can remember, I'm like emotional thinking about it. I can remember the feeling in my body when I was just like, don't leave. Like, what are you doing? You're walking out the door. You can't leave me here. It's like, where's my babysitter? Like, who's going to take care of me? The just gut instinct, as excited as a person might be for going to school, the gut instinct of like, wait, I need you back. Who's going to do stuff? How do groceries work? Like, and I knew how to do my laundry. All of these people, all these kids who are like, I don't know what detergent is. Tell me how to pour it in the cup. I did not have that kind of childhood. I mean, I was raised by wolves, to be frank, which my parents have both acknowledged since. I was kind of on my own for reasons that are sort of understandable with the priorities that they had dealing with my brother's special needs and was gravely injured in a diving accident. I understood that they did not have capacity to parent the second kid. But as a result, I was like, all right, we're just going to try to survive this and get through it as independently or forced into independence as we possibly can. I don't think it was because of that, though, that I had to do my laundry. I think my mom was just like, go fuck yourself. Like, do your laundry, do your dishes. You're not an adult. I was about to say you're an adult, but like you're grown enough to be able to pick up clothing, put them in a basket and throw it in the fucking washer. So take care of your shit. I was not in the dynamic or family where the mom is such a maternal figure that she really, really does. And it's for a lot of people in those dynamics, like it is the joy of making your child's life easier, of expressing love by doing these things. And so that was just a little bit of an LOL when Melissa's like, this is how laundry works. And you know that these kids generally don't know how to do it. You know that they don't. And it's just, what a kind of kick in the face that must be to wait until you have to go to a laundry room and there are quarters there. And then you have to pay for the honor of washing your clothes. That is a sign that you are growing up. I do just between us just want to say one thing, and I don't know that this is going to rile some feathers, but I do just have to be really honest that the scene in the baseball dressing room when Teresa is greeting her nephew made me feel so sad because she looked uncomfortable and awkward. She did not look maternal at that point, like in just seeming loving toward her nephew. It felt really stilted. And you know, we didn't, I don't know that we saw Melissa acknowledging Gia. I mean, that dynamic felt similar with Gia, and I forget if it was Joey or the other one. I'm like losing my mind at this point. But with Melissa's son, it did feel awkward in him greeting Teresa and greeting Gia in a way that made me feel sad, because obviously these kids have been affected by their parents' war against each other. And it's just so unfortunate. I guess it's kind of realistic at this point. These are not young kids. These are teenagers, young adults, that they are old enough to have formed an opinion of maybe their, you know, aunt and uncle or their aunt and step uncle, that they have the right to have an opinion. They have a right to decide, I guess I cannot, you know, be as close to my cousins as I was before, if that's even the case. I think going off of, was it Gia on Watch What Happens? Or there was some sort of interview that she gave where she, I think, if I'm remembering this correctly, relatively recently talked about the fact that the dynamic with the cousins has changed, that maybe they text each other happy birthday and stuff, but they're not going to get more, they're just not in the same place that they were. And that just made me feel really sad. And I'm not intending to say that to be like, Teresa, go fuck yourself. I'm just saying it was just really upsetting. It felt upsetting to me. Maybe it was a micro moment that I'm just kind of exacerbating, but it just landed for me in a way where I was like, oh shit. It just is sad to me. It's sad that these are kids who are innocent kids. And I say that for Teresa's kids as well as for Melissa's, to be in that place where you're just not as connected to your aunt or uncle as you might have been before, to see what these kids have been through, the ups and downs. And again, having the impact of all of that land with you and sit with you for things that were not your responsibility, it was not your action that created this consequence. It just fucking sucks. It really does. And I really don't remember if Melissa and Gia acknowledge each other, but Gia is also an adult at this point. So maybe she has a different way of seeing things. There's not the expectation on her potentially to greet her aunt versus what Melissa was trying to do, which I thought was important, which is to say, like, greet your relative, greet your aunt, say hi, you know, whatever else. I thought that was good parenting. I want to see that more. I just also think the reality of the situation for the cousins, it just sucks. It really does. There's no way around it. But I, you know, also flip side, there's no way around it. I get why this is happening. It's just so unfortunate that it is.
I know I'm one of many people who struggles with the all or nothing fads. Juice cleanses, soup diets, keto, hours and hours of cardio. If this cycle sounds familiar to you, and it definitely does to me, there's a better, more sustainable way to lose weight. Ro provides access to the most popular weight loss shots on the market. Over 200,000 people have already chosen Ro to help them lose weight. And let's talk about the big O, obesity. 4 in 10 Americans struggle with it, so there should be no shame in the weight game. It's okay to talk about weight loss and talking about it in a way that feels healthy. With Ro, you can sign up online from the comfort of your own home. That's right, the people's couch. This means no scheduling a doctor's appointment, no commute to the doctor's office, and no waiting rooms. Average weight loss is 15 to 20% in 1 year with healthy lifestyle changes. BMI and other eligibility criteria apply. Go to ro.co/andyscrolls. Sign up today and you'll pay just $99 for your first month and $145 a month after that. Medication costs are separate. That's ro.co/andyscrolls. Before being prescribed medication, patients must complete an online medical visit, lab test, and qualify for medication based on their BMI, lab results, medical history, and the discretion of a Ro-affiliated healthcare provider. Now that the temperature is rising, and I don't just mean the heat coming between Lindsay versus Carl, it can be really difficult to get my hair under control. I have like this wavy, curly, frizzy natural texture that I genuinely love, but it can be really difficult to find a product that works for my hair without feeling heavy and genuinely, genuinely counteracts the frizziness that I get naturally if I don't blow out my hair. That's why I love Way. Whether your strands are fine, medium, or like mine, thick, Way has shampoo and conditioner that's your type. I love the detox shampoo because it does exactly that. It detoxes your hair. And because I am a spiritual blonde and do have some color processing, the shampoo helps clean away all the schmutz that accumulates, leaving my hair feeling lighter and better than it did before. God bless that apple cider vinegar. And yes, for that frizz, I rely on the anti-frizz cream. I put it in after I shower, do a little scrunch of my hair, and I'm good to go. Way keeps me looking like me, just a little bit elevated. Jesse Solomon, have you heard my call? If you want volume, Way's fine hair and conditioner will give you a lift without weighing you down. Not sure what your type is? Take Way's hair quiz to find out. Wash your way to healthier hair with shampoos and conditioners made just for you. Go to theouai.com and use code Andy for 15% off your entire purchase. That's theouai.com, code Andy. The week before Aunt Flo comes to town is always a tough one. I just feel off. I don't feel like myself. My cravings go absolutely wild. And in New York City, when you can order anything at any time, it certainly doesn't help. Thankfully, now it's easier to manage PMS with Estro Control. And for those who are going through menopause or premenopause, when it can be equally a struggle to find comfort in your body, then you have to try Hormone Harmony. Happy Mammoth, the company that created Hormone Harmony and Estro Control, is dedicated to making women's lives easier. And that means using only science-backed ingredients that have been proven to work for women. They make no compromise when it comes to quality, and it shows. And P.S., BT dubs, Hormone Harmony isn't just for menopause. Any woman with symptoms of hormonal imbalances can take it. But it's perfect for those horrible menopause symptoms that put a woman's life on hold. Hot flashes and night sweats, racing thoughts, low moods, poor sleep, and feeling tired all the time, occasional bloating and gas. Hormone Harmony can help with all of those things. For a limited time, you can get 15% off your entire first order at happymammoth.com. Just use the code AndysGirls at checkout. That's happymammoth.com, HAPPYMAMMOTH.com, and use the code AndysGirls for 15% off today.
Speaking of family dynamics, what's going on with Danielle and her family? I don't understand what's happening. I don't understand her narrative around the events. The teaser for next week, was that the teaser for next week? Is like Melissa essentially saying to Danielle, you know, you get to choose not to talk to your father. I wish my father was still here. Family dynamics are very complicated. I'm not going to get into them because I'm about to hop on a train to go back to Rhode Island to deal with some family stuff. So it's not coming from a place of judgment of like, Danielle, what the fuck? But because there are people who might be your family by blood or friendship where things change and you need to cut them out of your life. And I've gotten into this conversation and almost like an argument with people on AG before of, well, they're your parent. You need to make up with them. I don't feel that way. I feel like if there is really something, a division that has happened and it is best for your mental and potentially physical health to say goodbye. And maybe that goodbye is we'll talk again. Like maybe we'll see each other. Maybe that goodbye is like goodbye for good. I'm not going to dismiss the feeling behind that. And I'm not going to deny the reality that in some cases that is what's necessary. I mean, we're seeing that play out a little bit with Teresa Melissa of like they needed, and Joe, obviously, Teresa, I keep saying Melissa, but it's like Teresa and Joe, you know, Melissa's on the show. Joe's obviously on the show, but he's not a housewife of Teresa and Joe, of these two siblings. They just needed to say goodbye to each other. And maybe that'll be goodbye forever. And maybe not. You don't really know what's going to happen in the future. You don't know how circumstances might change, how that'll impact feelings, or you're just going to, you know, normalize changing your mind based on new information. They might find some new information of like, I miss you in my life. I need you in my life. We can figure this out. And that also might not happen. But obviously it's for the best for these people right now to have distance. I think everybody is in agreement on that. They are. Dolores is, and she's my New Jersey Supreme Court. So when she says something, I'm like, yep, that makes a lot of sense. With Danielle, though, I'm really confused because the way she's, first off, kudos to Danielle for ensuring that her father, who she's not speaking with, maintains a relationship with Danielle's husband and with her kids, her dad's grandkids. That's very positive. We have seen other possibilities occur on New Jersey of like, nobody's talking to this person who I'm estranged from. So the fact, I'm sure the kids can sense that something has changed, but the fact that they're still seeing grandpa, having a relationship with them, is important. That being said, when Danielle joined the show at whatever point in you know, her time last season, we heard something about her brother not having a relationship with him, something happening, a fight maybe about his wedding with his fiance, not getting along with his now wife, that created some sort of fracture in their family. And then was it after, I think, one of Danielle's grandparents died, that there was hope for them to maybe bridge the gap, and that didn't necessarily happen. Now we're in a dynamic where she's saying her father chose to side with his son and not her. She didn't feel protected. She feels like her boundaries are being crossed. So now she's no longer speaking to him. I don't entirely understand what's happening. I also remember a big part of this was like blocking her brother on maybe Facebook and or Instagram because she didn't like what he was saying about her, maybe, or I need a little bit more information on what's happening, because it feels like what she's doing of entirely cutting out her father, if that's because she felt like he didn't side with her and sided with her brother instead, I understand how upsetting that is. Does the punishment fit the crime? Obviously, for Danielle, she feels like it does. That, like, if you don't have my back, you don't get me in your life. I wonder if there could have been a happy medium. But I also think, like, we just don't know enough about this. I feel like we're getting an incomplete narrative, and that's happening not because of privacy, but maybe is there like an element of shame here of like, I feel like people aren't going to understand, or they're going to say this isn't enough of a reason to choose to do what I did. I don't know. I just feel like we need a little bit more information, because it feels like we're going from 0 to 175. And I'm not objecting to Danielle's decision. I'm just a little bit confused about it. But also, you know, sometimes someone can do something, and if you look at that decision in isolation, that might not feel like a huge betrayal to some people. But if you've lived an entire life, sometimes it doesn't take a huge betrayal to feel betrayed in that huge way. Because she's thinking of the record, maybe, of how she feels like she was treated in her family. And this is yet another time that she feels like her boundaries were disrespected, or her decisions weren't trusted, that people didn't believe that she had the right to maybe feel a certain way. I don't know. I feel like I'm kind of pulling stuff out of my ass a little bit, because I just need a little bit more information. And it just, I need to hear more. I need to hear if there's like more of a pattern to this, maybe in family dynamics. I mean, we got that a little bit in the Teresa and Joe of it all years past, where we were like, oh no, there was like, this is like a generational thing, that there was an issue between Teresa's dad and Kathy Wakili's mom, like where there was a huge fracture between the siblings and things never really got back. I'm curious as to how this works in Danielle's family, if there is maybe a history of this. It doesn't mean there needs to be. I'm just kind of curious about that. And also, such a nothing burger when you compare it, but this whole Lena thing of like essentially Jen Aiden being, and I'm sure Teresa, who are we kidding, being like, Danielle wasn't enough of a team player for us, so we're gonna try to make her look as bad as possible. I'm not denying that whatever happened with Lena happened. I guess Danielle was a dick. I mean, there's some sort of history here, I guess, with Danielle and hairstylists, because then there's another hairstylist recently, I guess, who took to Instagram and was like, she didn't pay me. You know, she's a bitch. I don't know. I guess, you know, send that Venmo in advance, maybe, if you're doing Danielle's hair for a special event, or just make sure you have that VIP pass before you commit to opening your salon. I don't know. It is weird to me that on its face, this person did Danielle a solid by like opening up the salon, doing her hair for this special charity event, and then feeling so obviously disrespected. And if she quite literally saw Danielle losing her shit with someone on the event staff and being like, no, she's not allowed in VIP. Yeah, I would feel upset. I would feel insulted. I would feel disrespected. Absolutely. I also think sometimes people lose their minds. And if you are not in the special events space, or you are, sometimes people do things that are a little extra crazy. Like sometimes people do go a little cray. But that's Danielle's responsibility then to figure out and apologize. And it appears that she didn't after the fact, or we haven't heard that yet. But it was genuinely an LOL of Jen Aiden being like, so anyway, Lena, you're here because there's a camera crew and I need you to say some stuff that I know occurred and share that with the class. That class is a larger one, because when class is in session, it involves our DVR and YouTube TV and BravoTV.com and Peacock. So share with all of us what has occurred. Listen, I think it was a solid app. I genuinely was here for it. And I actually kind of feel like I have more stuff to say, but I have to hop on an Amtrak to go back home. And so looking forward to that. Bringing my recording equipment. So you don't know what's going to happen. I haven't watched, because I don't. LOL. I do want to watch the Secrets Revealed episode of Vanderpump Rules. I heard from people that it's a fucking mess, so I do want to watch that. And listen, I feel like I have more to say about Summer House. I'm processing things. I put up another two-part Satchel Spectacular last night. So there is another two-part Satchel Spectacular up as of late last night, exclusive to the OG of the AG and People's Couch tiers on Patreon. Again, joining the Andy Skrulls Patreon, number one way to support the pod. You get those exclusive bonus episodes, and had a lot of your Satchels of Gold, your thoughts and feels, questions and concerns, named in honor of Her Holiness Kelly Clorne Ben Simone, that I unpacked in talking about the breakup, the Summer House of it all, some of the page stuff on the after show. Part one of the after show went up before I recorded the Summer House finale. Part two went up way later, which I thought was very odd. But I know that people had reactions to Sierra and Paige and some other aspects of the part two of the after show. And so I got into that on the Patreon. Although I have to say again, I think I might adjust my mind again. I might normalize changing your mind based on new information. I feel like I need to rewatch it, because I was like flying high at a certain point, because I just feel so heated and so passionate about Summer House. I need to watch it again, because I do think that there's some nuance there, which I got into on the two Patreon episodes that I recorded about it. But I need to watch it again, because I'm wondering about my own positioning of Grace. So you can listen to those episodes now at patreon.com/AndySkrulls. Thanks to all of you for listening to this one. Send me your Satchels of Gold about New Jersey. I've done so many. I've done, what, four Satchel Spectaculars in the last week. I'd love to do another one, and I'd love to include New Jersey more. So if you have any thoughts on what was discussed on this episode, what you're watching on the show, please slide into my DMs. Regardless of sending a satchel previously, please, please, please include your first name and town. And that might be unpacked on an upcoming episode. In the meantime, thank you so much for listening to this one. And I will chat with you soon. Bye-bye.